here again, and been a good week. I know a lot of us probably would like to just go back to this morning, but we're not going to be able to go back to this morning. I enjoyed that. I do enjoy it when the Lord moves in.
Yes.
We already discussed that, Brother Donnie. I remember a lot of times you talking about things like that, and some people don't know anything about it. Some people don't want it. I can't understand that, but some don't want it. But to have, you can be turning to Jude, the book of Jude, to have what we've had this week and what we had this morning, what we experienced, will cost you.
Yeah.
That's why some people don't want it, because they don't want it to cost them.
Uh-oh.
They don't want to pay the price.
Right.
I was thinking, you know, and there's been a lot of preachers mentioned this week, and I remember a man that people won't know. I'll not even mention his name, but he preached in what was the great state of Michigan for many, many years. And I can remember, Brother Donnie, his pulpit had grooves wore in it from his hands. And he preached. People won't know his name. He wouldn't have wanted it that way anyway. But there was a place where his name was written down.
Yeah.
And the effect that he had on people, heaven's penman kept track of those.
Amen.
And he made a difference. When the Lord first started dealing with me about preaching, Brother Donnie, there's a demeanor, is there not, to certain people behind the pulpit. When they get up to preach, some people do. My granddad, and I hope you don't think I'm vain, but he used to do this right here. I just always remembered it. When he'd get excited, the more he'd go like this. And things were about to pick up. And I do that every now and then. I catch myself doing it. I don't mean to do it, but that's just one of those things, and I don't mind doing that. But I'm saying that to say this, that if you're going to make a difference and continue making a difference until this thing's over or you enter in through the pearly gates, it's going to cost you. There's some things you're going to have to do. All right. In Jude, and I know we were here earlier, but again, that's all right. I like the Bible.
Amen.
Every part of it. And I like parts of it many, many, many times over. So in the book of Jude, verse 21, if you would stand, give your legs a little rest. Verse 21, the Bible says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference," that's what's going to cost you. To make a difference. "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the person." Now watch out, because we as Baptists have done a lot of that. We've hated the sin, but we've hated the sinner with the sin. Shame on us. That's not the cost. Listen, if you have enemies, we're going to have enemies. But if you make those enemies, then it's your fault. We're not to, there's nowhere you'll find in this book we're to hate the sinner. We're to hate the sin, but not the sinner. So hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, not on him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Yes. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, again, just for a little time, Lord, I pray that you'd help with this. And Lord, you know how I feel. And Lord, you know the need of each one of us here. And Lord, we do love the mountaintop, Lord God, but sometimes the grazing is better in the valley. Lord, the flowers we can hide behind are in the valley, not on the mountaintop. So help us tonight, Lord God, I pray. And we'll thank you. We'll be careful to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask, and we do love you. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to flip just a little bit to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And in Jude, where we read, is really what I wanted to get at in that is what our job is. Brother Harvey, I have to remind myself sometimes what my job is. As not as a preacher. I know my job as a preacher. But what my job is as a child of God. That's my job. My job is to have compassion. I'm not always compassionate. I'm not always loving toward, listen, I don't know about you. I'm not going to ask Brother Donnie. I don't know what you do when you see going through, and I don't go to Walmart. I haven't been in Walmart probably 5 years. But Brother Steve, and I'm not going to look at him either, I know exactly. But I've been in Walmart and seen two guys coming along walking, holding hands. And that turns my stomach. And I've been in places and seen two ladies holding hands. And that turns my stomach. And inside of me, if I wasn't careful, I would hate them. Now listen, I do no longer hate them. I hate that sin. People need to know, listen, that sin, we can say it destroyed, God destroyed nations, cities because of that. People, innocent people that had not got into that particular sin, he destroyed because of the effect of that very sin. But not only that, but we have diseases all over our country and around this world because of that particular sin. I have a granddaughter that wouldn't talk to me, wouldn't call me. But she called Grandma and said, Grandma, why does Papa hate sodomites? No, sorry, my bad. Gay people, Bro Steve, gay people. Well, I'm glad I raised my wife right. Sorry, just kidding. But I'm glad that I've taught my wife right, Brother Donnie, because first thing she said to our granddaughter was, gay is happy, Hannah. Gay is not what they're doing. That's sin. She didn't say that's sodomy. She didn't say that. She said that's sin. Amen. That's what it is. And she said, Hannah, he does not hate that sinner. He hates that sin because I spent a lot of years, some of you remember, a lot of years in the prison ministry. I watched queers come into prison. You say, you don't know how to say that. Look it up in the dictionary. It's not normal and not natural. That's what a queer is. Listen, two men together, two women together, that's not natural and not normal. God did not create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. Amen. So she had to explain to my and my granddaughter still won't talk to me. And I mean, but listen, and I'm not happy about that. I love her. But there's a price, Brother Donnie. You're going to pay it every time you take a stand, and you know it. I don't have to tell you anything. You know. But some people don't realize, Brother Phil, I'm not going to coddle to people just to keep friends. I can't.
That's right.
And I'm not going to tear them up and say, oh, you wretched this and that. Because you know what? That's what I was. I might not have been in the same pig pen they were, but I was in a pig pen.
That's right.
So in this battle that we're in, or along with our job that we have to do, we must have compassion. And we have lost that. And there are things that as I look over, even in some of our independent Baptist churches that we get into that have been preached to by a great man of God and been taught and been a man of God tries to mold them into what they should be so that they're pleasing to God. He doesn't do it so he can go out and say, boy, you ought to see my church. He does it trying to mold them down here to where they'll fit in up there.
Right.
And yet you go into those churches and you see people still doing the same thing wrong time after time after time. Listen, I'm just saying, I've got six kids and I spent my share of time whooping them. Amen. Why? Because they did wrong. Because I didn't want them going out there and getting injured or killed because of the wrong that they were doing. I tried to discipline them. That's what the man of God here tries to do to people. And that's why you need to listen. That's a part of his job. Things like this here, these are to encourage, to enlighten, to get people to where they see the joy that can be from us living a life that what we're supposed to live for the Lord. Not for the man of God, but for the Lord. So it's a job. But in 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, in the first three verses, the Bible says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus or in Christ Jesus. I'm glad we don't go by our own strength. I couldn't. I wouldn't make it very far. I've tried doing things. Listen, I know, you know, there's people, Brother John, you ever had somebody come up to you and say, boy, you did that in the flesh? You know, I mean, I say this sometimes, I don't have another vehicle to run in. Huh? There'll be a day, Brother Donnie, where I'm going to do everything in the Spirit, but it ain't while I'm in this flesh. I only have one vehicle right now.
Right.
And that vehicle is locking in the other vehicle, because when the other vehicle gets out, I'm not going to be here anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
But there are times when I know I do things in the flesh.
Sure.
There are times when I try... how many of you remember what it means to prime the pump? Some of you young people have no idea, Brother Steve. I mean, you had to take a jar of water out just to dump it in, trying to get more water out of it. Huh? Some days that's what it feels like. You get, Brother Donnie, is it not? You get up there and you're just trying to crank that. You pour in water and you're cranking. You're trying to get something out of it and there ain't nobody moving. What are you going to do? You just continue in your flesh for a while and just pray and ask God, are you going to send the Spirit sometime to help me here or not? But I'm glad my strength is not in me. I'm glad it's in the Lord. But verse number 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Now watch, here's where I want to go. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I know if y'all knew what Brother Donnie went through, he wouldn't want me to probably say anything about what I'm going to say. But I'm not going to aim it over here, brother. You cannot, I cannot, no matter how long I live, I cannot. There's a part of the soldier in me that I cannot get out of. Me. You understand what I'm saying? And I hold that back. When I was raising my kids, I raised them as a Marine would raise kids. And I messed up. Because I didn't raise them as a dad, I raised them as a Marine. That not only hurt them, Brother Steve, it hurt me. Huh? So I try to forget that part. But the part I like to remember about the soldier is the structure. The structure of a soldier. Because now I'm not a soldier for the United States of America. Although I am an American. And very proud of it.
Amen.
But I am first and foremost a soldier of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that's what takes my energy. That's what costs me. Because there's a lot of... Now listen at me. There's a lot of things that I can do. And there's a lot of things I can't do. There's a lot of things I shouldn't do. That I end up doing. And a lot of things that I should do that I end up not doing. Paul said that. And I'm not using Paul as an excuse. I'm using Paul to understand that we are human. But in this area, being a soldier, and I'm in a hurry. I don't want to take too long. But I want to give you a couple things about being a true soldier. And if you're a true soldier, Brother Donnie, I believed when I was in the Marine Corps that the one thing I wanted is strength and power. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I remember when I went in, I weighed 120 pounds. When I came out of boot camp, I weighed 140. And there wasn't a bit of fat. You know what I'm talking about. I worked hard as a Marine. I worked hard to be the best that I could be at what my job was. Now, if I did that for the United States government, who did not care about me and probably still don't, why would not I want to do that for the Lord, who does care about me enough that he gave his very life for me? So I want to give every bit as much energy as I gave to the United States Marine Corps to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter what it costs. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is so hard to do you can't do it. It's not what it says, but that's the way we act. Which is your reasonable service. Is that what it says? But now watch this. You say, how do we do that? How do we get that? How do we get that kind of power? And what I'm talking about is, how do we invite the Holy Spirit to work with us, beside us, in us, through us, every day? And be not conformed to this world. Brother Donnie started it. He did it. They stopped up the wells. They put the earth in there. We've gotten so much of the world, not only in the pulpit, but we got it in the pew. We got it in the preacher. We got it in the person out here. We've got it. We got to do a whole lot of unstopping up wells. Clean them out to get to that clean water so that we can have the power that we're supposed to have to do the job that we're supposed to do. Now listen at me. If you say, well, I don't really want to do that job. How many of you are saved? You know you're born again. I'm talking John chapter 3, born again. How many of you? Amen. Amen. Listen, Brother Donnie, what I did, I didn't realize when I signed that paper to go into Marine Corps, I didn't read all the little fine print. I didn't know they were going to do that to me. But I'm saying when you got saved, you signed your name. You said, no matter what, Lord, I'll do it. I'll be there. I'll go to them. I'll tell them. I'll tell the Jews. I'll tell the queers. I'll tell whoever comes into my range.
Yeah.
I'll tell them. Now, if you didn't sign up to do that, then you're not saved. And by the way, what did we read? It is your what? Reasonable service? God said, I'm not going to give you anything unreasonable. I'm not going to give you anything that the two of us together can't handle. But he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the first thing the Marine Corps did for me, is change my mind. My mind was, this is my life. When I got in there, they said, no, it ain't. That is our life. I was under new management, new ownership. And about the second day, I said, I don't like it that way. And nothing changed. I was still under that management. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, and here's where we're going, will of God. You want the will of God done in your life? I'm going to give you three things, and we'll be done. Where you can have the power that a soldier needs. Number one, you've got to have a surrendered body. Brother Donnie, I thought about all the times that I went out and I didn't do what the Rangers did. I understand. I know that step above. I'm not trying to be there. That's why I didn't want to bring it up this way. But I can remember running and running and brother, a pack. You understand what I'm... A pack on my back and weight, and it's hot. I was from Michigan in December and I ended up in Parris Island, South Carolina. So I went from zero down to getting up to almost 100 in the day and putting on a 50 to 75 pound pack and running with that thing on. And my sides hurt. My thighs would burn. I would hurt. I was miserable. I hurt. I couldn't go another step. And yet somewhere inside of me said, if you're going to make this thing, you've got to go on through the pain.
Right.
I saw guys fall out.
Yeah.
And I said, and I'd look at them, Brother Steve, and I said, that's an embarrassment. I don't want to do that. And my body would say, you idiot, just lay down. You are tired. We had a motto, no pain, no gain. And I didn't realize what that meant until things started really hurting. And when the pain started, that was about where you began, not where you was getting ready to stop. I can remember times of going on a 26-mile hump. If you don't know what that means you're going over stumps, you're going over dead trees, you're going through, and in my mind, Brother Donnie, I had everything going, there's rattlesnakes out there.
Yes.
And I was not meeting up with a snake, amen. I just, and that's going through my mind. And then this pack, you know, we are geared in America to be quitters. I'm glad we have, I'm not building up Brother Donnie Harvey, I'm not. But I'm glad we've got some elite that served our country. And instead of the people doing what they did and what they're doing, they ought to just honor them, say thank you, and go on their little way.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not building that up. I'm just saying this. Now, Brother Donnie don't talk about it much, but now he's a different soldier. But he's still got a structure. I know people think he wasn't structured this morning. That's all right. I think it was ordered. God has an order. I'm glad God has an order. But there's a structure. And if you're ever going to have the power of God, you've got to stay within the confines of His structure. That's why we're not continuing today. People are getting outside the structure and saying, well, I want God's will, but it's going to be my way. No, it's not. If you're going to want God's will, it's got to be God's will or God's will isn't going to get done. He said, here's what He said to us. We must surrender our body to Him. Well, I thought it was all spiritual. We don't know spiritual. We only know just the very top of a pinhead of any kind of spirituality. That this morning was wonderful. But heaven did not come down. Heaven's still up there. The Lord didn't take us home. We got just a very little tip, taste of what heaven will be. And the Lord said, you can't handle any more than that.
Right.
We've got to surrender our body. Surrender. Do you understand surrender? That means to go to the Lord like this. Say, I have no defense. I have nothing within me that wants to stand against anything that would stand in the way of His will getting done. That's surrender. When you come to the end of yourself, Brother Donnie, I'm young. I mean, I know I'm only 60. I've only been in this 25 years. But I've seen some preachers that have never surrendered, and they wonder why their ministry is going nowhere. They've never surrendered, Brother Steve. They've never said, Lord, here am I, take me. Send me. Do with me what you want me to do. They've never surrendered. Their body. I'm not talking about your will yet. You've got to have a surrendered body. I can remember the first time I had to go without food. I said, I went in the Marine Corps. They promised me 3 meals a day. They did. That recruiter lied so bad. I got in there and I remember going days, a couple of days without eating. And then when we did, back when we had sea rations, they don't know nothing about them, Brother Donnie. Yeah. They don't know where green eggs and ham came from. They got no idea. They get these MREs. Buddy, I mean, that's like steak and eggs. Yeah. I've had an MRE. Not while I was in, but after I got out. Man, we're in the King's Palace eating those. And I'm not belittling. Listen, it was better than nothing. Barely, but it was better than nothing. But I can remember going without food and thinking, we're going to have to stop and eat sometime. And the pain, and it hurt, and I was tired. And they said, keep going, ground step. That means pick it up, stretch your legs out, go a little bit more, go faster, go. And all that. And I'm like, no, it's bedtime. I had to surrender my body to the United States Marine Corps. After a while, I didn't think about sleep. I was too busy concentrating on the pain. See, some of us in our Christian life, we'll never go through that kind of pain of what it takes to get one Jew. I don't know, Brother Phil, what kind of pain and tribulation it takes to get one Jew. I have a Jewish man that works at the processing out gate in Mitchell, South Dakota at Menards. And I mean, he cussed like a sailor. But he told me, he said, you all don't understand the Bible. He said, that's not real. I'd witness to him every time, going in, coming out. That stuff's not real. I know I'm in the line of David. That's what he said. I did. I took my hat off. Am I right, Ma? I took my hat off. And I said, my, to be in the line that you're in, and in the line that I'm in, I'd give about anything for that. Mm-hmm. I said, Jesus gave everything for me to be in the line that I'm in.
Amen.
I said, if I'd be in the line you in, I'd be in the best two lines that ever was.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't understand that.
Right.
But he argued with me. I couldn't imagine. And you're right. We don't know our Bible enough to do battle with most, even not Jews, but to do battle with a Jew that knows his scripture in the way that he wants to know them. It cost. You've got to do a lot of things that cause pain to you. You've got to surrender your body. You've got to surrender to the Lord. And I'm skipping ahead. Listen. Let me just ask you this before I go on. When's the last time you wept over lost souls? I mean, you know, we can all shake our head, but I'm talking about being honest. I'm talking about that God got so real inside of you over the people that are going to hell that you just couldn't keep it in anymore. We get so busy that we don't do that. We forget what we're fighting for. I remember talking with uncles that I had that were in Vietnam, and they talked about all the fire coming in, and they knew there was chemicals being dumped, and they said it wasn't the rounds that you could hear going off, it's the one you don't hear. And I didn't know what that meant till a long time after that. But they said you get to the point where you surrender yourself so much to the job, to the work, that none of that puts fear in you anymore. It puts a desire to live and to go on and to continue to do your job to the best of your ability. Because now you're not thinking about yourself, you're thinking about those that depend on you. We have people that are lost that depend on us to get them to the gospel so that they can get saved. I lost two uncles in Vietnam. I'm not. They surrendered their life. They gave that to their country. I'm proud of them. You know what I'm saying? They did that so that I could have the freedom that I'm now losing. But at the same time, they did that to protect those that were there around them at the time, and they did. And I'm glad. I want to be now in their shoes, only in a different battle. I would give my life if I could see that somebody else, they would be led to the Lord because of me giving my life. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord Jesus Christ did that. He went all the way to Calvary because he loved us. And he gave me an example to follow. So we need a surrendered body. But then number two, in 2 Timothy 2, and you all know the verse, but I'm gonna go to it anyway. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not tearing out the parts you don't like.
Right.
Or that don't fit your lifestyle. Means taking it in context. Study the Bible. So you need a surrendered body, but then you need a searched book. You need a searched Bible. I can remember sometimes of being in the field, and I was a mortarman, so I set up mortars and I had aiming stakes that went here that I could blow things up down there or over on this side, but I had to have some kind of structure to aim at to know which way I was going. If I missed over to the right, I needed to be so many clicks to the left. I needed to be where I could line up and hit my target. And so what did I need? I needed a manual. And the manual for an 0311, which is the United States Marine Corps grunt, a rifleman, would not work for what I did. I had to have the book for the 0341 mortarman. I had to have the book for showing a mortarman how to aim, how to shoot, how to hit what he was aiming at. And I needed the right book. And listen, we have the right book, but it is not a searched book. We're not searching in that to find the answers, to find how to lead somebody to the Lord, to find how to fight against when the devil comes against us and tries to get us down, how to go on when it seems like we can't go on. We need a searched book. We need a Bible. I know a lot of people, boy, they carry that King James Bible, and I'm glad they do. But they need to open it and read it and search it and study it and find out. I mean, a soldier in the field that has a manual and an officer, which is what a pastor is, a preacher is, an officer in God's army. But an officer that opens that book and doesn't know how to read it because he hasn't studied, or that won't open the book and gets all of his soldiers killed. What has he done? Nothing. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of preachers are today. And I'm not going to get on. I heard somebody say, well, preachers get all their outlines off of Facebook or off of the internet. I mean, I don't, but if you do and you study it out, whatever, I can't help that. I'm not going to do it, Brother Donnie. I like taking other, you know, you get to a meeting like this and you have to go through your Bible and see who you stole that message off of so you don't preach it in their presence. But I mean, you study it out and you don't use their exact illustrations and all that. You know what I'm saying. I'm being facetious in some ways, but I have a great message by Billy Goolsby that I've preached a lot and I don't take credit for it. But I'm just saying, if it worked for him, I talked to him one day. He said, if it worked for me and it'll work for what you're going to do with it, use it. I talked to another preacher. He said, I got copyrights on all mine. He said, I copied him right off somebody else. You can copy him right off me. Amen. I'm just saying this. There's nothing. I mean, are we going to go and ask Paul? I don't think we're going to ask Paul. Can I use some of your writings so that I can, you know... And the Apostle Paul said, well, you already are. You see what I'm saying? But I'm saying this. You can preach another man's, Brother John, you can preach another man's outline. But it's going to do absolutely nothing for you and nothing for your people if you don't sit down, study it, and know the context, know what it's doing, and then it ain't going to be his anyway because you're going to change everything. That's how the Lord operates. That's his structure. There's nothing wrong with writing down what Brother Donnie has said this week, or what some of these other, Brother White and some of these other men of God, write down what they've done, but study it out. Make sure that you're getting for where you're at, what you need, what God's given you, not what God gave him. But God can work through somebody else to help you help somebody else. But it's got to be a searched book. You got to open it. It's got to be alive to you. I mean, a soldier just doesn't go out to fight and just say, well, I'm just going to go over here. Well, you're supposed to take that hill. Why are you going that way? Brother Phil, I've only met one Jewish man out our way, okay? Now, I know one Jewish man is worth everything. You understand? But I wouldn't say to you, I wouldn't say, well, you know what, you need to come out here and start a church and put up a big ministry and all this because there's a lot of Jews, when I don't know. And you say, well, God's told me to go over here. If God told you to go over there and I told you to go over here, you better go over there where God wants you. You understand? I'm just saying this. A soldier does not go out and just use what he thinks. He uses the guide. He uses his orders that he got from his upper echelon officers to tell him where it is that he is supposed to go, what his job is, because somebody else is coming around this way, and we're going to have the enemy in the middle, and I don't want both of you over here fighting yourselves, and the enemy gets away. And that's what we've done. Preacher against preacher. Ministry against ministry. My church is better than your church, and the enemy has been slithering away. And we've done nothing to fight that enemy. huh? A searched book. You know where I get my plans on what to do? That book. You know how I get ideas of where God wants? There's sometimes, Brother John, I get up and I preach things that I tell my wife. I say, I have absolutely no idea why I'm preaching what I'm preaching this morning. None! Afterward, one person will come up and say, well, I really needed that. Huh? You know why? Because I stuck with the plan book. And I know there's been times, I know all y'all preachers don't do this, but I've done it. I've got up and I've went out and I've come back to my office and I've put that outline back away and I've gotten a different one that I thought would preach better and it did nothing. Know why? I didn't stick with the plan. I didn't continue in what the Lord was telling me to do. I thought I could do it better myself. Yeah, I admit it. I already confessed it to God, so it ain't sin. And ain't nobody a priest in here that way that I got to confess to them a sin. I already confessed it to the high priest. So it's a fault that I have. And I'm trying to quit, Brother Donnie. I'm trying to get over that stuff. I'd rather just God, but sometimes some of what he gives me doesn't make sense. Brother Donnie, and I'm sorry, I'm just picking at you tonight a little bit, but do you ever have them give you an order that didn't make sense to you? I'm just saying. When they told me to dig a hole over here and then fill it back in, that didn't make sense to me. But what they were doing is seeing if I would obey, because if I wasn't going to obey in a digging a hole here and then filling it back in, just because it didn't make sense to me. They weren't sending me into a place in a hot LZ where lives could be taken knowing that I already would disobey or not carry out a direct order. Now, whether you want to think so or not, God has given us in that book direct orders. And if we would follow them, we'd be a lot further ahead than we are now. I believe that. We need a searched book. We've got to, listen, I got off track when I stopped having compassion on people that I thought were really bad and wicked. And we, there was a time as Baptists that we thought anything didn't line up with us was wicked. Now, that's not true, but everything that is sin is wicked. And as long as I kept that in mind, it helped me. It directed me, got me back onto the right path. That's where I'm supposed to be. That's what happens when you follow the direct orders. Making a difference. Pulling them out of the fire. Don't leave them burn up just because you don't like what they're doing. It's not what they're doing that should be your main concern. It's what they are or who they are or who they could be. We don't have the vision to see that that lost sodomite could be the next person saved under your ministry. Amen. With the help of the Lord. Now, I'm dead set, buddy. I preach hard against sodomy. I've seen so much of it. I hate it, brother. I hate it. I hate it. And then I hate it. And on top of that, I hate it. Amen. And I had some of them in my prison service. And they did some things during service that really made my stomach crawl, Brother Steve. And I got ready to say something, and the Lord, through his plan book, he said, no, we're just going to keep this in a direction where I can work. You don't need to do it. Sometimes I don't like it when God leaves me out of the equation. But he does, and more happens when he does. But what happened was, they're sitting in the service, two sets of them, Brother Donnie, two sets, one over here, one right back there. And I noticed every time, and I'll not get into all the details, but every time they would sing, that we would sing, one would stand up, one of that set, one or the other. And that's all I'm going on that. Anyway, but I can remember one night, that I went in the maximum security prison and I was trying to follow the Lord and Brother John I've done this twice in the whole time I've been in the ministry. I put a blank paper in my Bible. I don't need notes. I love you, brother. We all need notes so that I can stay on track. But I do use notes for an outline. I want to stay within a confine. But I had nothing. And what the Lord had impressed my heart about, Brother Donnie, is having testimonies. Have him give testimonies. So I get in that prison service and I'm there and we've gone through the song service and my guts are rumbling because of this. But the one was sitting alone up here. What was his partner was sitting back a row. Now, when they came in, he sat up here. We got done singing and I said, does anybody have a testimony? And it seemed like, Brother Jackie, an eternity. And I could feel the temperature starting to go up. And nobody said a word. And my mind said, you idiot, you missed it. Again. I done missed it. About that time, this sodomite that sat up here, he goes like this. And I said, yes, sir. Not here, I'm thinking something's going to happen. He says, what's a testimony? And I said, well, that's where you tell about when you got saved or what the Lord has done in your life. Or I said it this way. I said, that's when you tell about a person that has gotten saved. Because I'm still thinking there, he's a sodomite. Or what the Lord's done for you since you got saved. He said, oh. And here we go all over again. Nothing. Anybody? About this time I'm choking up because I just can't pull a message out of my hat. I mean, I could, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? I had nothing. Nothing on my heart to preach. And if you don't have something on your heart, don't preach. And I'm looking all over and I'm thinking again, you done missed it. And the same one went like this. I said, yes, sir. And this time he stood up. And tears was coming down. He said, I just want to say this. He said, I came into this service last time. And the last time he sat alone too. He said, I came into this service last week with the intent to proposition one of the men in this church service. And I'm like, where is this going? And he said, that man, when I went to him, he handed me a book and a piece of paper with a bunch of numbers and letters on it. And he said, I took that book that night back to my cell. And he said, I started looking in there at the places where those numbers and letters matched up. And he said, I found out that I was a sinner. Amen. And the worst of the worst. And he said, I spent all night reading those little numbers and letters. And he said, early in the morning, the Lord Jesus Christ came into my heart and saved me. Amen. Now a person can think what they want to, that God can't save somebody like that. This is what he said next. He done left me. And he turned around to that other pair back there and he said, you know what? You're coming in here and you're fooling everybody, but you ain't fooling God and you ain't fooling me. He said, because as soon as God saved me, he took that out of my life right now. Amen. He said, I may not be what I'm supposed to be, but he said, I am no longer a sodomite. Amen. And that's what he said. Now you believe it if you want to. You don't have to. I'm saying I was there and I know what it felt like. And he kept coming. And he kept growing. And he never came with another man again. Huh? You know what happened? When I searched the plan book and tried to figure out which route I was taking in toward the enemy, that's exactly where God stopped me. He said, I don't need you to do anything tonight. I'll do it all. Amen. Matter of fact, I've done it all. I'm just going to show you what I've done.
Right.
Amen. Right. So we need a surrendered body and a searched book, the plan book. Make a difference. Pull them out of the fire. Listen, it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what they dress like. It doesn't matter what they act like. Amen. They're a sinner. They need Jesus. And we need to do everything we can to get them to the Lord. And I'm saying when the Lord gets in them, everything from the outside and the inside will change if you don't try to change them. Let him do it. He can do a lot better job than we can anyway. A soldier that has no plan book has no power in the battle. But then let me end with this and I'll go quick. Look in 1 Thessalonians real quick. Chapter number 4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that ye, as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God so that ye would abound more and more. And I'd read more, but I'm not going to for the sake of time, but I just want to say this. I believe if you want the power of God in your life and on your ministry, And as a person, as a witness, we've got to have a surrendered body, a searched book. And then we've got to have, now listen, this is what they see. We've got to have, I believe, a saintly behavior. How can we have spiritual power when our behavior is like the world? Brother Donnie said it. He started it out, and I believe it, and I believe it was right. We need the water of the Word that will change the life, but we can't get it when there's so much of the world in there. Can't get it. We got to get the world out of the church. We got to get the world out of our lives. Got to get, listen, out of everything. That's why we're not seeing things like this go on all over this country, because the world in the lives of God's people is stopping it. People don't want what we claim to have because we don't act like we have what we claim to have. Huh? I'm just going to go through a few different things. A soldier has to dress different. Brother Donnie, there were times when I got so warm I wanted to roll my sleeves up. And the common person would say, well, why didn't you roll your sleeves up, dummy? What would I have been? I'd have been out of uniform.
Right.
Huh? Some of you get that. I do believe we have a uniform as a Christian.
Right.
You can preach without a tie. There's not, I mean, I don't see. But why would we want to look different and less than, and I say this to people. I'll try not to get too far off the beaten path. But why would we, and I don't know if it's y'all I was talking to, but anyway, why would we, would any of you in here get married in blue jeans? I mean, I'm a rancher. You know, I'd get married on the back of a horse if I could do it again. I'd make a quicker getaway. No, I'm just kidding, Mom. I love you, Mom. I'm just kidding. Well, there goes Brother Steve. That's it. But I'm just saying, why would we put better clothing on to be married to our earthly spouse than we would as adorning ourselves for the bride that we are for Him.
Amen.
You may not think it makes a difference, but there are people, and we found this out. We had people come to us in Mitchell, South Dakota, and say, "We've been watching you for months." Now, brother, that's scary to me, because my mind is going back, what have I done in months? You know, you're trying to go back. But you know what? If we just act godly, have a saintly behavior, we won't have to worry about what we've done in the past. Because if we're living our life consistently the way the Lord wants it, we're not going to have anything to be sorry about. But so many people today, they don't know. They live different on Monday. Some people will live different tomorrow. They will. They'll live different tomorrow than they have today. Well, we were in church today. Well, wait a minute. You're in the presence of God today, right? Where are you going to go to get out of that? You see what I mean? We need spirituality about us. You say, is my clothing going to do that? I believe partially. I believe we ought to look right. I didn't. When I was in the Marine Corps, I didn't dress like a sailor. Amen, glory to God. I didn't want no backward bib on me. I'm just saying, I had a specific uniform to wear, and today might be different than tomorrow's. But it was always going to make me look like a Marine.
Right.
A soldier has to act different. Brother Donnie, we don't, as a soldier of the cross, as a soldier of Christ, we don't act like the devil.
Right.
We're not supposed to. But when we're not in the presence of other people that are soldiers of the cross, then do we? I preached a message years ago on what if God were your bunkie. I had a bunkie that slept on the top bunk, and I had a hard time with him. Because he was a wiggle worm. And when you got a wiggle worm on the top bunk and you're a light sleeper, you just don't sleep much. Every time he moved, I felt it. Huh? What if God, now listen, what if God went everywhere you, wait a minute, as a Christian, let me just get this right, He's in me and I'm in, He does go everywhere we do. Do you take Him in the bar with you, Brother Jack? No, you don't go in the bar. Brother, no, you don't go in the bar either. You know what I'm saying? Would you, can you, take Jesus everywhere you go, because He goes there with you, whether you want Him to or not, if you're a Christian. As a soldier, there were places I couldn't go. As a soldier of Christ, there are places I can't go. There's places I won't go. Now, I'm not trying to say this bad, because I know people will disagree with me. I don't go in a restaurant that serves alcohol. Cracker Barrel used to be my favorite place. Now it's off limits. Amen. You say, what do? I tell my wife, fire me up a burger. Amen. A soldier has to act different. A soldier has to think different. Now watch this. A soldier has to be respectful. There's places that I've gotten to that I hear people come back to me. Where I'm at right now, where I'm trying to help the church right now. A lady in that church that had two little kids came to my wife and I and said that people in this church did not want her and her children there. They didn't like her and her children being there. Now, the first Sunday I was preaching, Brother Steve, I don't know how you do it, but the first Sunday I was preaching, I didn't know. These two little kids come done running up the alley and went both ways and everywhere. I never saw them. But somebody in the church asked her if she couldn't control her children not to come back. Now, if you're so concerned with how she takes care of her children, why don't you get your lazy butt out of the pew and take them into the nursery yourself? Amen. Thank you very much. I'm not trying to be mean. But if you really think that that's hindering somebody from hearing the gospel, get up and do something about it. Don't ask them to leave. They needed Jesus. Now they're going to a charismatic church, brother. And you know what I did? When I heard that, Brother Steve, my compassion left me. And I got into church and I said, I can't go on until I make this statement that I talked to a lady that was here and somebody in this church told her to leave. And the last time I looked, there wasn't nobody but me, the pastor, and the rest of you when it comes to something like that. Shut your mouth. Amen. That's what I said. Was I right? Nobody had. Now she won't come back. She's in a church. She's not going to hear the gospel. She's not going to hear them talk about salvation by grace through faith. She's going to hear somebody say, you just got to speak in tongues and you'll be saved. When I was in the Marine Corps, I had to act like a soldier, be respectful. I had to care about others. That's that having compassion, pulling them out of the fire. I had to have the knowledge to fight. What they did is they took everything out of me that was me and replaced that with everything that was United States Marine Corps. So that when I was told to do something, whether it made sense or not, I just said, yes, sir, and I did it. As a Christian, I have found that it works more to help people if when the Lord tells me to do something, I just say, yes, sir, and do it. I don't always do that. I don't. But I want to. I know I need to. That's that saintly behavior. If I'm a saint, a child of God, then I need to act like it 24/7. Not just when I want to, not just when it benefits me, but always. A true soldier knows how to act. And he knows why he acts that way. I want that spiritual power. I'm in the Lord's army. I want to be a good soldier. I want to fight like a good soldier. Brother Donnie, I want to know who my enemy is. I don't want to fight somebody in the same uniform. I never had the fight. And we pick, we do. I'm in the Air Force, Army, Marine Corps, Navy, they, you know, you can say things as a soldier in one of those against the others, but if you're not in one of those, don't say anything about all of them. Don't say anything about any of them. Amen. I have boys in the Navy.
Amen.
I pick at them. Because they come to me and say, They come to me and say what I'm going to say right now. The Marine Corps is a department of the Navy. I said, yes, it is. It's the men's department. But you understand what I'm saying. But we do that as Christians, only we don't do it a lot of times jokingly. That's not saintly behavior. When we don't have, Brother Donnie hit it this morning. We're so busy fighting everybody else that we're not fighting the battle that we're supposed to be fighting. And people are dropping off into hell because we're too busy fighting one another. I have a hard enough time keeping an eye on the ministry God put me in. I'm not interested in getting involved in your ministry to try to set you straight. Which you don't need anyway, I don't think. But I'm just saying. That's not saintly behavior. I need that, Brother Steve. I don't always have that. I've not always had it, but I want it. And I know where to go to get it. Brother John said this week he wanted to continue to go on. And we can. there's a pattern. There's a way in which we can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, to get His will done. And that is this. And that's what, and I've heard Brother John say this 3 or 4 times, 5, 6 times, 7 or 8 or whatever it was. I'm just going to get out of the way. That's what I have to do. If I want to be a true soldier of Christ and have the power that I have to have, then I've got to get out of the way and let God do it. Now, I know He uses us, but He does not use my will. That was the hardest thing for me. I have a, and I don't want to look at my wife, I have a strong will sometimes. I can be stubborn. And not just with my wife. I can be stubborn with the Lord. There are times when I've looked back and I've told the Lord, I think I can do this better if I do it this way. And He said, really? Want to try it? And then when He picks me back up, I say, Lord, I'll do it Your way. Huh? Listen, I'm done. Listen, we're called into God's army. We've got to do things the right way. It's this whole thing, everything that's going on, while we're focusing on a sickness, people are still going to hell. Every second, people are headed to hell. While we're comparing ourselves to somebody else's ministry, what somebody else is doing, great revivals have taken place across this country. We'd listen on the radio. I think it was it last year when the tent thing was up here that it went on for a couple weeks or the year before that, 2 years ago. And how many weeks did that go for? 5 weeks. Y'all hear it? 5 weeks. And you know what we did in South Dakota? We didn't get jealous. We prayed, God, keep it going. Amen. We were listening to it on, the updates on the radio. And I'm talking about God just kept it going. And we didn't get jealous about it. I didn't say, well, boy, that's what I got. No, I want God to do things like that. But I want Him to do it in His time. And when things are ready there, things may be ready here now, Brother Donnie, to just blow this thing wide open. And God says, I want my will to be done. And I think it's set up for it. And we're just going to do it. And great things can happen. I know churches where people are getting saved. I know churches where nothing's going on. I know a church that's had one lady come into it, and I told you about it before, for 2 or 3 or 4 years, and now they're running 27 people. Glory to God. You'd say 27 isn't very many when you're out there and it takes you going an hour in a circle to get 27 people. You'll be thankful for that 27. We don't have, in a lot of places out there in the West, we don't have places that have as many people as Indianapolis has or Greenfield. But God didn't give me to be where Brother John Nichols is. So I don't envy you. You can be here in Indiana. There ain't no horses here. Well, there might be somewhere. But I'm just saying, I want to be content where I'm at, but I want to fight. And there's been a lot of times I've been discouraged, and I've called Brother John Nichols. And I said, man, I don't know what to do. There's nothing going on. I don't know. And Brother John, he's one of these educated guys. And he reaches down in that doctor bag and he says, well, all I can say, brother, is just keep going. I'm like, I could have told myself that. But if I'd have told him, he said, well, then why are you calling me then? But I'm just saying, we help one another. Don't hinder one another. Help one another. Be a good soldier. and we'll be able to continue on. You say, well, the Lord's coming. That's all right. That's all right. Let him come. Let him come. He didn't tell us to quit and wait for him. He said, continue in the things. Continue in the things. Continue in. I'll be there in a short bit. I'll be there. Your mansion's about ready. I'm just putting up the final trim. Huh? I'm putting up the little fancy touches that I know you're going to want in your mansion. And then I'll be there and I'll get you. But you just keep on till I do. Continuing.